In pursuit of mindfulness, we embark on a quest to align our thoughts with God's, allowing His wisdom to permeate our beings. Today, our conversation highlights 6 life keys, areas, recognize changing season, and the different perspectives we see or may not see. As a pastor, author, wife of 38 years, and mother of 4 sons, I guarantee we have a few perspectives to discuss. Mindfulness is a mind filled with experiential conversations with God. Embracing this mystery reveals how God intricately weaves you and I together, unveiling you and I in a collective of identity rooted in Christ. We will share perspectives and some storytelling and helpful conversations that cultivate a heightened awareness. This enables us to grasp the depth of spiritual wealth present within you and I and our interconnectedness in Christ. I'll see you on the inside. Hello from the Pacific Northwest. This is Kristen from KristenWomback.com, and you're listening to Intentional Now podcast. Answer me this. How does a Baptist farm girl from Oregon stumble upon the mystical nature of Christ, the love of God? If you're like me, Jesus has redefined what you used to say yes to. Join me and my guest on a mystical journey, but before we talk about the spiritual woo-woo, you need to know I am totally sold out to Jesus. It's amazing what the love of God reveals. Hello, hello, and welcome. Such a fun day to publish. It's Valentine's Day. I hope you have made plans for spending time with your beloved today. And that suggestion works, well, 365 days a year. With love in the air, let's take a moment to breathe in and breathe out. And how about we do that again? Breathe in. And breathe out. Great idea, Holy Spirit. We're going to make this a live activation breath prayer. Okay? Follow me, dear friend. Here we go. Together, breathe in the goodness of God and hold it comfortably. Relax as I speak over you and I. Philippians 4:6-8, and I added a few personal inflections. We are saturated in prayer throughout this day. You and I offer our faith-filled requests before God. With overflowing gratitude, we offer our silent prayers, our unspoken prayers, our bigger-than-life prayers, our I've-said-this-so-many-time prayers, and the prayers for those that hold a place of love in our heart. God breathes over us wonderful peace that transcends human understanding. He faithfully and valiantly guards your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. He faithfully and valiantly guards your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, wherever you are in your breath, breathe. Allow your exhale to carry away the trials, concerns, and circumstances of the day. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Tell him every detail of your life. Tell Him every detail of your life. Imagine your exhale is carrying every detail of your life. Breathe out pain and disappointment. Release confusion and worry. Release misunderstandings, problems, and anger. Move your breath into relaxation, breathing comfortably. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, and holy, merciful, and kind. Holy Spirit, we fasten our thoughts and our breath on every glorious work of God. We are a glorious work of God, and we give you praise. Amen? Good idea. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now that we've poured a wonderful glass of wine, put on your slippers. The kids or husband is down for a nap, tee-hee. And I'd like to welcome my new listeners. So glad to have you with us. Welcome, welcome. And here is some fun. I appreciate you, and I'm sending a little Valentine hug your way. The United States, Corvallis and Hutchinson and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Miami and San Diego, Seattle, St. Louis, Evansville, Albany, Houston, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Indianapolis, Fort Worth, Durham, Richland, Athens, Bloomington, Provo, Huntsville, Richmond, Des Moines, Ireland, Taiwan, Brazil, Germany, Canada, Japan, Finland, United Kingdom, and Korea. Happy Valentine's Day. Now, isn't that fun? I am so honored to have you as part of our show. Welcome and thank you. Yes, I pay attention to where you are listening fun. It makes the world seem so small. Just like we pulled up a bunch of chairs around my office and my desk here, and we are just having a simple conversation. Amen? I have a little housekeeping info for our new listeners. I put together show notes for you so you don't have to take notes. You will find the direct link at the bottom of the description. One last help, okay? If you aren't on your way to work and you have the ability to open your desktop, there are pictures that I'm going to be talking about today that will enhance our discussion and perspective. But I'm going to do a really good job at describing them, okay? I'm laying out many questions for us to contemplate, to share life application stories with you, give perspectives of changing seasons, and testimonies. Testimonies are everything to me. I always want to know how Jesus revealed himself. That's the best part. If you think out loud like I do, imagine Jesus is riding in the passenger seat while you're driving to work today. Just make a comment his way after each question or thought or photo. Amen? It is our privilege to engage with the Trinity in all aspects of our life. So just have a three-way conversation, okay? Last week's episode, one that you can take to the bank, number 143, Seeing God, Living Convinced and Conscious of Who You Really Are in Him. You are so much more than a woman at the well. We are going to blend living convinced and conscious with knowing the wealth of every conclusion and joint witness. Oh, here we are. I am paying attention, Lord. What would it mean to you to live convinced of who you are in Him? What would that mean? And how would your life be empowered to live conscious of how He feels for you? Give me a life application, Kristen. Yep, I like those too. You have experienced an encounter with Jesus. Remember? He melted your heart and He healed areas of emotions that you had unknowingly allowed to build up. And in this particular encounter, you know the one I'm talking about. Point blank, He showed you His powerful love for you today. You are so inspired, and the memory of that encounter is so real and rich. Holy Spirit can easily take His paintbrush, and within one stroke, you are there. You remember in the encounter, immersed in His goodness. Now, I call that manifesting. Yay, I love it. You just hold on to that, okay? Our communion, it's going to jump off the deep end right here, okay? In Colossians 2:2, the mirror, Paul is writing, "The mandate of my ministry is for everyone's heart to be awakened to their true identity." Everyone's heart. Yours, mine, Uncle Pete's, Aunt Sally's, everyone's heart. Awaken to their true identity. We are intertwined in love's tapestry. That tapestry will launch you into a life of knowing the wealth of every conclusion and joint witness. Hidden within the mystery of God who fathered you and I and co-revealed, opened up the door as wide as you can open it. Maybe He took it off the hooks, revealed us in Christ. This will launch you. I hear it this way. Uncle Pete and Aunt Sally and your neighbor are a part of your launch into. God wants us to understand how He has entwined us, inter-entwined us, to make a tapestry of love, which means joint seeing and understanding and flowing together as two streams, a seamless merging, a fusion of thought. And it suggests the grasp of comprehension that happens from comparing and combining things. Today we're going to compare and combine. Today we're going to joint see and understand. And in such we will flow together as two streams, seamless yet merging, a fusion of thought. You and I are mindful, talking with God, to achieve a focused awareness. Everything that could possibly define our wealth, it's hidden in Christ. In this place of our union in Him, the complete treasure of all wisdom and knowledge is sourced. You and I are mindful, unpacking the word wealth. That wealth, which is spendable and savable currency, fills us with the conclusion and joint witness hidden, and through asking and conversing with God, it reveals within the mystery of our Father and us in Christ. Christ is the context of all wisdom and knowledge. Good stuff here. So here is my life application story. And I'd like to break that statement down a bit, because we hear life application all the time, but life application means to God, it's the act of applying and laying on. Literally, it's the act of directing and referring. It's the act of agreement and disagreement and fitness and correspondence. God is in the act of applying himself in your life. Mm-hmm. He's in that act. He doesn't just tell you and I to be intertwined, thus making a tapestry of love. No, he just doesn't tell us. He immerses himself into showing and walking with us from every step. Every step. From the field or creature that provides us the yarn. And through the weaver's hand, it's spun. God shows the loom that holds the thread and waits as I master its movement. And then together, with tapestry in hand, we smile at the beauty we call our own. Now here's the love for all to see. It's more than a story we've spun. In time with tool, you can see the master's skill given to the son. That is what I call life application. And this is our story, in part. This is good. Thank you for being here. My story, my life application, the window that God opens up and illuminates. My husband Don and I are in a season of transition, and that is where I will display different perspectives, asking God, mindfulness, talking with God. I should say we were able to rekindle our first love of sailing on our 22-foot Catalina last summer. Oh, it was so wonderful. If you're on any of my social media posts, I'm sure you stumbled upon sailboat pictures. Oh, it was wonderful. I received a wonderful gift from my children for my birthday, in which Dawn and I purchased a summer moorage at a local reservoir, Fern Ridge. Mm-hmm. It was the best summer spent in our 38 years of marriage. The best. Now, I'll give you a couple of hints. But you married folk out there will have to read between the lines in this story. And I give you permission to go, been there, done that, or that kind of sounds like me. Something I have learned along the journey, when you stand behind a pulpit, you must always keep in mind the persons involved with the testimony. Mm-hmm. Acquiring our sailboat, it was a miracle itself, and thus we named her Courtship. Many things were rekindled last summer. The summer ended with much anticipation. Oh, this was wonderful, God. Can we do this again? My gratitude had landed right in God's lap, along with an increased desire. As a sailor, if you've ever sailed, we would call that we have 2-foot-itis, meaning a bigger boat, you know, a bigger boat, bigger RV, you know. Now, you are laughing. Good. Laughter's good. But God is always using the path of life to draw us into closer relationship with Him and closer relationships with friends and family. Not new information. He's always weaving the tapestry. Now, a 22-foot Catalina is similar to going camping in a small camper. Not much room for friends to stay for the weekend, and now our family has grown. We are grandparents. Yay! And we love to hang out with our own sons and their growing family. So you can see where I'm going with this, right? Keep in mind our title, Asking God, Mindfulness, Talking with God. Holy Spirit is weaving my story into your story to create a tapestry of love. Everything that could possibly define our wealth, it's hidden in Christ. In this place of our union in Him, the complete treasure of all wisdom and knowledge is sourced. That's what I want. In that complete treasure of all wisdom and knowledge, it's sourced. I can confidently say, God knows sailboats and the desires of His kids. Amen? So Don and I are right in the middle of God, how shall I put it, threading the outcome of this little tale. I will share with you details on how I worked with time, but I'm going to wait for God's last stitch to pull together His pattern of life. Amen? So I promise I will share those details when it's time. They're fabulous. We are sourcing wisdom and knowledge, and you just thought it was a story. Our first perspective. Our 22-foot Catalina has a swing keel. What's a swing keel? The keel is the iron and the weight that's under the boat that helps the boat go through the water and stay upright. Especially when the wind is pushing on the sails, it keeps you from flipping over. It has a swing keel, so it tucks up underneath the boat, and then we can put it on a trailer, and that makes it easy to pull and launch. It's handy dandy. She is pristine, well-loved, and we are confident and comfortable with her, and she sails like a charm. Introducing a 26-foot sailboat. Fixed keel that sits on a trailer, making her as tall as a semi-truck. An interesting twist. This particular boat, she hasn't been out of the harbor for the last two owners. I know, she needs some love. In the season of courtship, the focus was on being together. Makes sense, right? To change seasons, we will have more responsibility, more room. But there's a measure of risk in acquiring any recreational vehicle, especially if we have to believe God that she is seaworthy. What does it mean in our relationships to be seaworthy? My first picture that I'm going to share with you, it's in the show notes. I'm standing next to the little princess. I changed the name for the sake of the story. And she towers above me as if I'm standing next to a semi-truck. Yep, I'm standing next to her. She's on the trailer. She's way up high. I look super small next to her. I highlighted it and I put in the graphic the word perspective. Now, from that picture, standing next to a semi, how would that make you feel if you go from a small camper van, kind of, to a semi-truck? How would that make you feel in a transition? And then we have to ask this question from all perspectives of all the parties. It's not just my perspective. And how does it make my husband feel, who would have to fix any possible issues from a sailboat that hasn't been out in the water through two owners? How will dynamics change to arrive at our desired outcome? We feel a measure of change with the possible risk and the change of responsibility. We'd feel that. What is God doing through this? Is mindfulness challenged? Since this is an obvious audio platform, the photo in my graphic, how does that make you feel? It's of a young lady in a dress, and she's floating just under the surface of the water. Just floating there. How does that make you feel? Are there issues in our lives that make us feel like we're floating under the surface of the water? I heard somebody say, Kristen, you have no idea. Well then, I have a challenge for us. Listeners, we are making a demand on the anointing, putting pressure on the gift God has placed on my life as an orator, a teacher, a podcaster, a preacher, and every individual listening. Time and space is irrelevant in the spirit. So I would hear this, preach. Let's put all of us in remembrance of the purpose of the anointing, to break the yoke. What did Paul say in the beginning of our episode? The mandate of my ministry is for everyone's heart to be awakened to their true identity. We are, you and I, are intertwined in love's tapestry. We're hanging on to the same beautiful blanket and we're part of it. This has launched you into a life of knowing the wealth of every conclusion and joint witness hidden within the mystery of God. He fathered you and I. He co-revealed you and I in himself. This has launched you. God wants us to understand how he intertwined us to make a tapestry of love, which means joint seeing and understanding. We do this together. It's a flowing together, two streams, a seamless merging, a fusion of thought. It suggests the grasp and comprehension that happens from comparing and combining things. We are going to compare and combine things together, you and I, in the fusion of thought. Grasp and comprehension is happening now. Just like the roots of a tree draw your sustenance and strength from him. Like a building rising up off of its foundations, your life makes the full stature of Christ visible, standing tall in his shoes, firm in your faith posture. Draw on the anointing. Draw sustenance and strength from the story, the auto, the description, the supernatural, the angel sitting right next to you, wherever, however, sound is reaching your ears. I decree anointing, break the yoke. Decree with me, anointing, break the yoke. Time, I ask that you partner with the anointing to break the yoke. Praise God. Back to our story. What we have brought to the table, perspective, and a sailboat that makes us feel outside of our comfort zone. I created further pictures that have been prompted from the discussions that Don and I have been having over the past couple of weeks in regard to the Little Princess, a 26-foot sailboat. The words on our next photo, challenging mindfulness. And there is a sailboat run aground. The keel is stuck in the sand and the tide has left the room. That's not good, God. But we're challenging mindfulness. Where are our minds going to get full at? Photo 2 is a picture of a massive anchor sitting on the bottom of a clear blue tropical ocean. How many ways can you look at a picture of an anchor? The word anchor in itself could mean chained, heavy, unable to move. Or if we stay tapped into the mindful of God, we would see the picture completely different, feeling anchored and safe and firmly grounded, protected in a storm. I'm having fun. Photo number 3. We are looking at a sailboat from under the water, like you're snorkeling. You're under the boat and you can see the keel, the propeller, and the rudder. Perspectives? The weight of the boat that keeps you steady. The energy that moves you or doesn't move you. And the guiding, it's your choices of which way are we going to turn. Photo number 4. It's a picture of a sailboat being launched by a crane. She has large straps around her girth. She's not on land or in the water. She is vulnerable, entirely subject to the crane holding her and moving her. Let me share with you a very personal story, a very moving story from many years ago. During my bus driving days, you can read about it at length in the unfinished book, I was driving an 8th grade class on a field trip to Portland Art Galleries. We had walked the streets of Old Town, ducking in and out of the local art scene. The 8th graders were being typical 8th graders, with hormones racing here and there. Since they were short of chaperones, the teachers had asked me if I would help keep a watchful eye on our youthful party. You know, seriously, I was just a little bit shocked what was considered art. And at times I was even embarrassed that these young minds should witness so much unresolved pain from a paintbrush. And yes, there were lovely landscapes and brilliant recycled masterpieces. To make my day more interesting, but I had already had a bit of an attitude by now, I asked God kind of flippantly, if there was any piece of artwork here that I would exchange my lunch money for. I think, you know, something is going to happen, and my perspective is just about to change. We, the field trip, walked into a contemporary gallery. I'm trailing behind the group, corralling the lollygaggers of spring Twitter-pated girls and boys to keep the pace. Inside the entry of this vast and airy, industrial beams showing, open studio, natural light, high ceilings, windows set in and around, exposed pipes and plumbing, it was lovely. This room, it led to that room. It was just a maze of false walls, each proudly displaying the fluid of heart to hand. Paintings and pictures, and I'd suggest, when I looked at many of them, starving artists, redundantly and carrying a little bit more attitude by now, I ventured around the corner. The day is waning and the kids are ready for a nap on the trip home. And there, around the corner, and there she was. Suspended, breathlessly, reaching what seemed floor to ceiling. Divine interruption. I'm frozen. Frozen. This lady in waiting, me. The wait was no more. I halted. It's like the noise just evaporated within the divine hush. The kids melted away. The room became singular. She was coalesced on a canvas of moist ocean blue, green, layered with ticking smudges and speckles of brown and neutral hues, with all different kinds of matter and mediums like oatmeal and slivers of shredded cardboard clinging to that wonderful stretched cloth. Her colors, new at birth like a robin's egg, nested. Smooth brush strokes, brilliantly painted in springtime. It held, it caressed, it camouflaged, it protected in the precise weave of a parent's design. The canvas, it framed her and cradled her in secret attention. Distraction was the softness of her face. I was so distracted by it. And smudges and circles just framed her face. She had long, lovely hands that were embracing. Her body is hidden, silent, no outline except a wisp of suggested fabric of what she was wearing. It was masked and hued between sea light foam over stirred sand. Pulled in hands cupped around her breast, just inches above a delicate oval face with eyes glancing down. I was speechless. Even without an audience to speak, I was moved and removed into a noise-canceling realm far from my pubescent passenger's sound. She made me feel things that I would just as soon keep buried from manifesting in public places, even withhold from his secret places. I stared. I pushed back swelling tears that dug in deep emotions. I was mesmerized. My quest conceded to all of heaven, saying immediately, "Lord, you win. I would love to have her." I stole every moment to stand in her presence while the immature tour just loitered around till teachers looked for my assistance. With a price tag of $5,000, well worth it, I claimed her in my heart for free. I secretly owned her, displaying her in a tall ceiling room hung over a mantel for all to meet. I named her Jane, after the artist's sister who had modeled for the masterpiece. Jane made me feel today just like she did so many years ago. She makes me feel just like that sailboat hung by the belly by a crane, unable to move on land or water. Jane made me feel vulnerable. God, He has brilliantly addressed feelings I thought were hidden from Him. Today, from a lifetime journey, I can sit in that place of vulnerability with Him and ask Him questions. Be mindful of who He is and have a conversation of who I am. Brilliantly submitted to the only one who deserves my total surrender. My goodness, this has been a Search of the Heart episode. Thank you, God. I have two more perspectives. The last I'm not going to share because it represents what I believe God is doing in the next sailboat season with Dawn and I. You can pop over to the show notes and see. I didn't put any type on it on the photo. It's open for your interpretation. Our final thought and photo. The photo has a bold type that says mindfulness. Reaching down out of the heavens into the blue ocean, you see two arms reaching, one from the heavens and one up out of the ocean. Both are clasped in a fireman's hold around the wrist, God's and mine. Or maybe today, God's and yours. We have covered a lot of ground in today's episode. You have been invited into a conversation with thoughts and feelings and answers and outcomes and anointing and challenge and desire. God has heard many questions. God has reminded many perspectives. The best part is the conversation. How easy it is to know God's mind when you have discussed the issues of the heart. You and I are mindful in asking God to facilitate my mind being full of His mind. You and I are mindful, talking with God to achieve a focused awareness. Everything that could possibly define our wealth is hidden in Christ. In this place of our union, you and I, right here, right now, in Him, the complete treasure of all wisdom and knowledge is sourced. You and I are mindful, unpacking the word wealth, which is spendable and savable currency filled with the conclusion and the joint witness hidden and through asking and conversing with God. Revealed within the mystery is our Father and us in Christ. Christ is the context of all wisdom and knowledge. Thank you, God. Thank you so much, listener, friend, family. Thank you for spending this vulnerable and valuable time with me. Being it's Valentine's Day, I love you. Thank you, God, for giving each one of us a Valentine backed by conversation. One last thing I'm going to ask God today. Holy Spirit, do you have your paintbrush? listener, you have experienced an encounter with Jesus. Remember? He melted your heart and healed areas of emotions that you had unknowingly allowed to build up. And this encounter point blank showed you his powerful love for you today. You are so inspired and the memory is so real and rich. Holy Spirit can easily take his paintbrush and within one stroke, you are there in the encounter, immersed in his goodness. Now I call that manifesting. Send me a Valentine too. Follow the podcast, like this episode, leave a 5-star review. Hugs and kisses. Until next week. Bye now.